Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in January of 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, and
here.
Okay, he's here. Good. Now I can breathe. And then we also have Will Schmidt today with us, Mr. Hottie Patati, fitness trainer to the stars, and blah, blah, blah.
Howdy.
He doesn't
have a role in the circus?
Oh, he has a role in the circus. Yeah, he does.
Pretty man?
Yeah, he's eye candy. He's barely dressed today, and it's kind of cold outside, but like I said earlier, he has his hotness to keep him warm.
So, that works out well.
Yeah, I can use that joke, you know, it's about recycling.
I just use a scarf. Instead.
And cover your face.
Only option I have, yeah.
No, for those who don't know, Tony's really cute. You can look at some of his videos on kickitinthenuts.com and check it out.
They're not porn.
Not porn, but, you know, you could use it.
We'll build up. You got to warm up with
a little
normal
foreplay.
Things.
Wait till week 12.
Yeah, week 12, it gets dicey.
It gets hot up in there. Today, all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for more details. So today, we're going to be talking about the truth about vitamin D. I want to know this truth about it, you know, because I don't really know much about it, but I'd like to know the truth and if there were some lies that I should be aware of.
There's some fiction available.
Okay, great. So if you haven't already, please do so. Go ahead and be sure to follow us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. We'll post topics every week about future shows we'll be doing, and you guys can post your questions there, and we'll cover them, unless you're a jackass, and then maybe we won't.
We might cover that anyways, but then we will bring up the fact that you're a jackass.
Uh-huh, and we'll make fun of you for sure.
Yeah.
So, but we mainly roast the ones we love.
Right. And I'm very impressed with the questions we've been getting lately. Like a lot of times, every topic, somebody asks a question, I'm like, oh, that's a great thing. I totally forgot about that. So you guys are rocking the house. Keep the good questions coming.
Yeah, we got some smart people out there, me excluded.
And it's really fun because they'll ask a question, I'm like, I don't know. And then I'll just leave that one out.
Yeah, and then he starts to make stuff up. It's called improvisation.
Right.
No, these guys will only answer questions that they know. So you can feel assured there. And please don't sue.
And you know what else, too, especially with this topic, I really like people to understand that when it comes to the human body, nobody really knows anything. Like, we're just doing the best we can with what we can figure out. But every time we think we know exactly what's going on, mm-hmm. we bust something open and all this other stuff comes out.
That's right.
And we're like, oh, that happens now, too.
Let's talk today about this. And my first question, because I'm sometimes silly and not as smart. What does vitamin do and what's the purpose of it?
Vitamin D? What does vitamin do?
What does vitamin D do and what's the purpose? D do.
Will?
Yeah. So it, like you said, has a whole bunch of different roles in the body, like too many to enumerate, hundreds. But the primary one that we're going to focus on is it's important role in calcium absorption. So without vitamin D, you cannot absorb any of the calcium from the food that you're eating, which is a big problem because it's a very important mineral to have in your body, in your tissues, in your blood, for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of other shows where we talk about the importance of calcium and our common cold show, immunity, all that kind of stuff. We talked about that it's really a key thing. So vitamin D is important to get that calcium in there.
Yeah.
But just drinking a buttload of milk won't help?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's also different there's different kinds of vitamin D, and there's different ways in which your body gets it and synthesizes it, or sometimes overdoses on vitamin D when following some mainstream health recommendations. So I think one of the main things we'd like to focus on in this episode is to talk about what's the appropriate way to acquire vitamin D and how it works in the body and what happens when you get the wrong kind or you get too much.
Right. I think that's important. And here's a kind of visualization for you, Kenna, to help you understand what the process looks like. So think of it like, you know, your food goes into your intestinal tract and there's calcium in the food that you ate. So the body wants to pull that calcium into the bloodstream so it can use it and send it around the body where it needs to go. So look at vitamin D kind of like a dustbuster. And it pulls the calcium out of the intestinal tract into the bloodstream so the body can use it. But here comes the problem that we're going to talk about a lot today. The medical world has gone kind of bazonkers over vitamin D, and they're recommending these huge doses to people. So when someone takes a huge dose like this, that little dustbuster now turns into an industrial-sized shop vac. So it not only pulls the calcium out of the intestinal tract like it's supposed to do, like we're grateful for that doing that. If it didn't do that, we'd be broken. We wouldn't have bones. We'd just be like a pile of mud on the floor. But with this shop vac effect, it not only pulls the calcium in from the intestinal tract, it pulls calcium into the bloodstream from everywhere. It pulls it all out of your tissues. It can even pull it out of your bones, and it makes the blood calcium retentive.
And can you get that back after it's already been pulled out? I mean, can you get back the stuff from your bones that it took from your tissues and your bones?
Well, the body's fancy. It can do fancy stuff, but think of it like, let's picture that I'm beating you in the face and I'm just punching you over and over again.
I actually do have pictures of that.
And like the whole time I'm doing it, I'm just giggling. So if you're picturing that happening, eventually I would stop because I'd probably want to go have a sandwich or something. And then you would get back up because that's what we do as people. We get back up. But if I never went to get that sandwich,
I would probably play dead.
You probably would? Yeah. You think that would make me be done hitting you in the face?
I would just wait until you left, and then I would get up and leave.
That's a good scheme. But think about if I never stopped hitting you, you would never be able to get up. Because I'm just, so that's kind of the same thing with vitamin D.
He doesn't hit me with his fists. He hits me with his words, generally.
That's the case. That's so fun. Oh, and she's crying. But so, yeah, the body can, you know, add more minerals to bones. It can put it back in the tissue when it has the tools to do that. But if it's constantly being hammered with, you're not allowed to do that. Right now, I'm such a powerful shop vac, and I'm just sucking the calcium into the bloodstream. Then you can see where that could end up being some problems.
And when you were talking about overdosing on vitamin D, no one's ever come to somebody's house and the person's dead and there's like vitamin D sitting beside them. They can't actually overdose and die from it, right?
They actually can. Do you want to talk about the rat poison? Yeah. Do you know about that one, Will?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That does happen, actually, when they do tests on rats with like these huge doses of vitamin D. Because it will pull like all the calcium out of a system, and if you don't have calcium to like run your muscles, they'll spasm and malfunction. Like,
and your heart's a muscle.
Yes.
So here's the big
thing
that can happen too. They use vitamin D in rat poison. Like when they're making rat poison, a lot of companies, it's just a huge dose of vitamin D. And what happens is it pulls so much calcium into the bloodstream that the kidneys can't handle removing it and the kidney fails.
Wow.
Dead rat. So, but I don't want you to think that the doses they use in that are anywhere in comparison to what we're using as humans.
Because we're a lot bigger than a rat.
Yeah, unless you're talking about a very small person or a big honking rat. So it's not in the same comparison. And the one thing that makes humans different when they're saying, well, we're not like rats because we have higher levels of protein. And there's different types of calcium that floats around in the body, and some is bound to protein and some is not. And it's the calcium that's not bound to protein that can cause a whole lot of trouble, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they say that it kills the rats because rats don't have the level of protein that we have. But if a person is having problems with digestion, where they can't either break down the protein or assimilate it, then that person's going to have less protein.
And if it was a baby,
sure,
got a hold of some vitamin D,
right,
that would be good. Yeah.
And people do weird things now. And when Dr. Oz or any kind of medical community person is recommending huge doses of something. Some people think it's a good idea to give it to a kid too, and that's just not always the case.
Well, sometimes I fall into the trap of, well, if a little's good, a lot's better.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Food too.
This is really important for today.
And sex. Everything.
So let's hit some questions and then we'll kind of explain more stuff as we go.
All right. Julie from Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. If I live in an area where it's cloudy with very little sun for about 5 months, should I supplement with vitamin D?
It's possible. You want to talk about sun and vitamin D? And
yeah, well, that's, I mean, sun and tanning beds are the healthiest way to get vitamin D. It's actually it's actually a different form. Even like it's vitamin D3, but you can supplement also with vitamin D3, but it's arguably even different. Mm-hmm. Even D3 to D3, whether it's absorbed through the sun and synthesized by your body or supplemented with. So what a lot of people do in low sun areas, like far north on the globe, is to use tanning beds, which I think is a better strategy than supplementing with it, like whether it's through sublingually or in a capsule or whatever.
What would you suggest for somebody like me who's basically an albino? Mm-hmm. You know, I have red hair, I have, you know, really white skin, get freckles, and like if I go out in the sun for 2 minutes, I have a new freckle. So I can't really spend a ton of time in the sun.
And people get freaked out by the sun now just because of all the skin cancer scares. Yeah. And those are, that's for most people that don't wipe freckles on them as they walk outside. It's just a severe sun exposure is what causes a lot of damage. You don't have to run from the sun because there are benefits from it. But someone like yourself who doesn't want to go in the sun can supplement if vitamin D supplementation is appropriate for you. And we're going to get into that a lot. But a lot of times, it's not like you need to go lay out in the sun to produce vitamin D. When you walk to your car, you're in the sun and your body is getting that exposure and it's able to produce vitamin D.
And we live in LA, so anytime we're out and about, we're getting exposure.
I mean, we do have that 4 days of rain
every year.
And that is such a pain in the ass.
Right.
I mean, every time, like, you walk outside and you get wet, disgusting.
Rain this
I know.
Year.
We have a hard time here in LA, but sorry for us.
It's also, though, the case, like you said, we don't really know everything about what's happening when we take a supplement or eat a food or go outside and get light exposure. We know that it's really bad when you don't get any sunlight. And that's why, like, the highest suicide rates are up in the far
Vampires.
North. Right? Yeah. So when people don't get that light exposure, it's not just the D3, although that's a big factor. There could be a whole lot of other things about light exposure that humans really need. So that's another reason why I emphasize, like, try to get, maybe go to a tanning salon every now and then and just something to get natural light exposure or close to natural light.
And I know when I spent time over in the Netherlands for a few months and it was in the coldest part of the year and it was dark out by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I went through depression. So does that link to, is it the vitamin D or is it the actual sunlight?
Well, you were gone for 3 months. You just missed me.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably what the case is.
I wrote in my journal every day, I miss Tony. God,
and then afterwards she scribbles it out. By tomorrow she's like, I miss him again. And she scribbles it.
Don't miss it.
When my blood pressure was low, I hate Tony.
So it's not always about just sun exposure. It's more about the person and what their needs are. And we're going to talk about that with some of these other questions, too.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of needs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Janie from Danville, California. How much, like, vitamin D should we be taking?
That, again, is a relative thing based on your individual chemistry. And vitamin D might be a really bad thing to take for you at all. Like, if your chemistry is already showing signs of like calcium depletion and it's not getting enough calcium into the tissues, and if you are getting regular sort of daylight exposure, it's usually not that necessary to focus on supplementing with vitamin D.
So here's some good things to think about too, is that you can do simple tests on yourself to look at a few factors to get an idea of what's going on with you. Like, you can look at your pHs, your urine and saliva pHs. If your urine pH is over 6.4, that's a pretty good sign that your body is trying to get rid of calcium and that you may have too much calcium in the bloodstream already. So you don't need more D to bring more calcium into the bloodstream. You're going to overload an area that's already too loaded up. Another way to look at it is look at symptoms that are caused by issues that where there's not enough calcium at the tissue level. And we've talked about some of them on the other show, but Will, what are some of those kind of things that people can look out for?
Yeah, so, well, menstrual cramps are one, which you talk about in great depth in your book.
Yeah, any time that I have menstrual cramps, I take less vitamin D.
Right, I'm always just like, here, Tony, have some milk.
I'm a little fishy, yeah.
But also, any sort of cold, flu, or viral issue. So if you have like cold sores or canker sores or warts or a regular flu, all of those are pretty good indications that your calciums are deplete, or your tissues are deplete of calcium. So taking D3 would be a bad idea because that would pull more calcium away from the tissues and make your immune system even more negligent or turn it off.
And when we say, that's a bad time to take any kind of vitamin D, that doesn't mean that you can't have any or you can't go in the sun. We're just talking about these high doses that are being recommended so much today. A lot of people are recommending, 500 to 1,000 IU, even more per day. So that's kind of what we're saying. And if you want to know more about those issues, like the cold sores, the menstrual cramps, you can listen to some of our other shows that we have on iTunes. Just search for Kick It Naturally. And there was one that we did on the common cold. Yeah, we talked about that a whole lot in that. So we won't go over all that again now.
Because that would just bore you.
I'm
probably
bored already.
Shirley from Sacramento. Why does vitamin D help immunity?
That's pretty popular now. I mean, everywhere you look, you're like, you got to have vitamin D to boost your immunity. Mm-hmm. So why don't Will tell us about that?
Well, like when we looked at like the actual like positive role of vitamin D, and it's necessary to get calcium from your tissue or from your food. So without it, you would be pretty screwed.
Yeah.
And so your immune system couldn't function without the calcium present in the tissues. And also vitamin D itself does a lot of things to help activate the cells themselves. It's when we get too much vitamin D, it has that opposite effect of pulling calcium out of the tissues and turning off the immune system. So her question's kind of like, you have to qualify your question before you can really answer it. It does help immunity, but too much hurts immunity.
So help that to make sense of why the medical community is making so many huge mistakes with this particular substance. It's because that, yes, you do have to have vitamin D to get calcium in the right place to help your immune system function correctly. When calcium is not in the tissues, the immune system doesn't even know there's an invader. It's like the alarm never goes off. So it has to be there. But if too much vitamin D pulls all that calcium out of the tissues and holds it in the blood, now you're screwed with a capital F and your immune system is turned off again. So yes, they're right. It's important. But yes, they're also real stupid because too much is just as bad as not enough.
And I think like the pop culture around it, ever since the Got Milk campaign has gone out, sort of shifted our thinking about, it's like vitamin D, it's like super critical to get our bodies to have the calcium that it needs. But I heard that once upon a time, this whole Got Milk campaign was launched as a marketing venture by the dairy industry in response to some studies that directly linked the consumption of milk to osteoporosis. And it was like this backward thing to try to like nail
to calm
them
it,
out. Yeah,
calm
with
it
these
down.
Comedic cows being up there and showing like, you got milk, like whatever it is. So the thinking's actually quite the opposite. And we're not saying that milk causes osteoporosis, but it does, excess vitamin D does contribute to osteoporosis over time.
Yeah, I think somebody asked a question about that too. I'm going to talk about that. But the one thing about the Got Milk campaign that just pisses me off more than anything is all of the people who have like ripped it off with their little mom and pop companies and like their slogan is like, got roots for a hair salon or something like that. I'm like, if you can't come up with your own thing, I want you to go out of business right now. I want you to stop doing that.
Yeah. That'll be our next episode about
got
positive
coalition.
PR, right?
Yeah.
Got natural reference. Okay. I'm sorry. It's hard to concentrate when Will has on shorts. He has very shapely legs. They're nice. Okay. Veronica. Hey, Veronica. We know Veronica from LA, California. You've told me this before, but I can't remember. Why does vitamin D help depression, and how do you know when you're taking too much? I'm depressed. I added the last part.
Yeah, so vitamin D can be helpful for people that are experiencing depression due to low blood pressure, because vitamin D, in pulling calcium out of the tissues, raises the blood pressure by holding that that electrolyte in the bloodstream. And that blood pressure being off is the main thing that's causing the person to be depressed in the first place. So it can make you feel better.
Right.
You know, and that right. can be deceptive.
We have a whole episode on depression, and for some reason I think that was our funniest episode. I don't know how that worked out.
We wanted to make people laugh. Okay. We were depressed.
Maybe.
I don't know. You know what we were going for.
Right. But you can listen to that if you want to understand why low blood pressure can create depression like that. But like I have a supplement that I use when someone has really low blood pressure. It's not available to the public, but...
Cocaine?
Yeah. Okay. So you have to get that through a special source, like Kenna.
Yeah. No.
But it's called electrolyte deficiency. You just have to get it through a health coach. But the point is that in that supplement, there are minerals and vitamins that can help lift blood pressure. And one of those is vitamin D. But it has a very low dose of vitamin D in there. It's like 80 IU per capsule.
Oh, only 80 IU? Whoa.
Yeah. All the cool kids do like 5,000 IU three times a day. So, but that vitamin D can help hold more calcium in the bloodstream, so then that bloodstream's thicker and now the person feels better. And that's why vitamin D has been effective to help depression. But if you're going in that large dose, yes, you're lifting blood pressure, but you could also be stripping calcium from the tissues where it needs to be, and you could be pulling it out of the bones as well.
And one way to answer the second part of her question is, how do you know when you're taking too much, is to look at either your urine pH or symptoms of calcium deficiency. So if you have any like cold or flu symptoms or viral issues that you're facing,
Charlie horses, cramps in your legs, cramps, your feet, those kind of things.
Yeah, those menstrual are big cramps.
Yeah, when you get those cramps, those Charlie horses things, you know there's not enough calcium at the tissue level.
Yeah. So that, and if, like you said, your urine pH is over 6.4.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Kelly from Jackson Hole. You know, I'd hate to be a kid named Jackson and live there. Jackson's Hole. Okay. Kelly from Jackson Hole. How much vitamin D do I need if I want to avoid osteoporosis?
Kelly is sexy.
Yeah,
okay.
You think so?
Get it, Kelly.
Jackson Hole is awesome. Have you ever been there?
It's
gorgeous.
Is it in Florida?
Unbelievable. No, it's in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievably gorgeous place.
She obviously wrote this before we said everything we already said.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
She should listen and then ask.
Yeah, right. So osteoporosis, like we talked about, like if you're taking too much vitamin D, it's going to deplete your bones of calcium. So that can contribute to osteoporosis. So if you're worried about osteoporosis, it'd be a smarter idea to do things that actively drive calcium into the tissues, like taking taking calcium in an easily absorbable form, like calcium lactate, with fatty acids like olive oil, and some certain amino acids like lysine as well can help drive calcium to the tissues.
Right. So where vitamin D can, you know, large amounts of vitamin D can pull calcium out of the tissues, fatty acids and lysine can help push it back down to the tissues.
And also sugar pulls calcium out of the tissues as well. So I think we'll talk about that in more depth.
We are going to get into that. One thing I want to explain so that you understand why we're so misguided about vitamin D. Most of this information is based on these type of clinical studies. And what they do is they have people sign up for these studies, and then they do a blood test to check the calcium level in their blood. And they look in their blood because they're not going to dig into the bones to see how much calcium. And who would sign up for that? I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So they pull it out of the blood, and then they give the person large doses of vitamin D, and then they check the blood again. So when they check it after they've been taking vitamin D, calcium levels are much higher. So they're like, okay, vitamin D must help us assimilate calcium, right? So you can see where they would think that, and they could see also because, you know, it does help us assimilate calcium. But in those large doses, not only is it helping us pull the calcium in, but it's also pulling it from all these other places, and it's just holding it in the blood. So they look at that like, oh, the blood's higher in calcium. It must have come from outside. They're not viewing it and understanding that the vitamin D is pulling calcium out of the places where it needs to be, and that's the problem. So all of these things is based upon the fact of vitamin D helps us get more calcium. And when we look at all of these issues, they're where we know we need more calcium, like immune support, like bone structure, all this stuff. They say, well, vitamin D must be the answer. Mm-hmm. But clearly it's not. Okay. Because ever since they've been promoting huge doses of vitamin D for osteoporosis, osteoporosis has been on the rise. It's not just because it's more popular.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.
Right.
Interesting. All right. Jessica from Los Angeles, California. If you test for low levels of one or both of the two vitamin D metabolites, is it a liver conversion issue or a kidney conversion to the active hormone issue, or just plain old digestion? I feel like I know the answer to everything is plain old digestion. She wants a gold star from you, doesn't she?
Yeah, but she doesn't get one that time.
Oh,
yeah.
She didn't? Oh, no. Dang.
I know. Let's jump into the sugar thing now, and that can kind of take us into explaining the answer for this.
Yeah, sure. So when we look at, I was looking at her liver conversion, kidney. That's a pretty awesome question when you think about the way that the body synthesizes vitamin D and how it's not really active until both the liver and the kidney do their part in augmenting vitamin D. So if you know that you have issues with like liver disease or kidney trouble, those would be helpful things to address. So whether it's poor bile flow or your blood sugar levels are off, those will also affect your ability to synthesize vitamin D and calcium. But to jump back to the sugar thing you're talking about, just as vitamin D pulls calcium out of the tissues, so does sugar, because sugar acts like a magnet for calcium. So when you eat too many sugars, and I think you talk about this in your book as well, like around holidays, like Halloween and Christmas, people tend to get a lot more cold, flu, virus type symptoms. And usually people think that's because it's cold out and there's the weather causes it.
Right.
But it's much more likely the case that it has to do with huge increases in the amount of sugar that you're eating, pulling calcium out of the tissues and making them susceptible to viruses and that's what it
right should. So it's kind of like this, there's just this natural draw where calcium will follow sugar wherever it goes. So if we're eating a lot of sugar, then
it's a stalker.
It is a stalker. Oh. Yeah. What happens is somebody will go and they'll have a blood test that shows that their vitamin D levels are low, so their doctor will say, well, you need to raise your vitamin D levels. But if the blood sugar is already high, then that's going to be pulling more calcium into the blood because the calcium is going to follow the sugar. So that means that a lot of calcium is going to be leaving the tissues where it needs to be for all these other things to function. So doesn't it make sense that if there already is not enough calcium at the tissue level where it's supposed to be, that the body would start to decrease the level of vitamin D that it's creating so it's not pulling more calcium out of the tissues and holding more calcium in the blood? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people look at low vitamin D levels like it's, I'm broken. But in many cases, it could just be the body doing the right thing. It's mm-hmm. just, it's trying to help you out, and it reduces vitamin D production so that you're not pulling all of your calcium into the bloodstream.
Yeah. So it is really important to look at that question like, oh, you got these vitamin D blood panels back and you're all scared because your doctor says they're crazy low and
right.
like you got to take 5,000
units or
whatever. Just know that maybe your body's doing that on purpose. Maybe your body's smarter than your doctor. And
who would have thought that would ever happen?
You know? And it's trying, like you said, to keep calcium in the tissues, so it's actively synthesizing less vitamin D on purpose.
Right.
So to just hijack that whole system and inject yourself with a bunch of vitamin D is not, even though it will shift your blood panels and your doctor will be happy, you tell me in a minute, like, do you feel better or not?
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. And you're also going to tell me in a minute is what did your blood pressure do?
Mm.
Because it's in most cases, it's going to go up. And don't look at what we're saying as us telling you to not do what your doctor told you. We don't know your situation. Your doctor might be having you take extraordinary amounts of something for other reasons that, you know, that is not being told here. So you need to talk to your doctor about making changes. This is just about understanding where the information is going in the wrong direction, and so you can figure out what you want to do for yourself.
All right, Nancy from Andover, Kansas. My doctor told me once that my vitamin D level was too high and seemed extremely upset about it. He told me to stop for a few weeks and then to cut the dose in half. What are the risks and symptoms of taking too much vitamin D?
I like Nancy's doctor. I don't think I've ever heard of a doctor understanding that vitamin D was too high.
Yeah. Well, we've already talked a lot about like a lot of the symptoms that people get when they get too much vitamin D. But one we haven't mentioned is urinary tract infections, like how vitamin D can keep pushing the urinary pH up too high, and that can make them more susceptible to UTIs also.
And those
right.
Suck.
It could also, you know, when kidney stones are just the formation of too much calcium that's trying to be excreted from the body, mm-hmm. this is another way that, you know, with all this calcium in the bloodstream that's being held there by vitamin D, the body's going to try to get rid of a lot of that through the kidneys, and that can cause kidney overload or stones or other problems like that too.
Wow. Ben from Salt Lake City, Utah. I keep seeing a lot of information about vitamin D being good for cardiovascular disease. How does it aid this with this? How does it aid with this? There we go.
That was good, Ben. Okay. Yeah. It aids by making it worse, in my opinion. That's the aid that it gives. And
vitamin D is the redheaded stepchild of all the supplements, huh?
It really isn't, because it's actually the hero of all of them. But then when it starts to show off hog the stage, then that's when it gets yanked off and doesn't get invited back next week, and they
cut him.
That happens to me usually, but I can't help it. You know, it's just, I can't help
it. So it's kind of like, it's like Carrot Top. Yeah. You know, he does a great show, but then sometimes he just keeps going.
And you're like, okay, yeah, Carrot.
I get it.
Okay.
It's a hat. Yeah. And now it looks like it's a planet. Yeah, okay. So, but here's the big thing. What I want you to try and Google vitamin D and cardiovascular disease or heart disease or something, and you'll find everybody saying the same thing. And what they all say is that we have found a significant amount, a percentage of people with cardiovascular disease also have low vitamin D levels. So adding more vitamin D must make that better. And they all say, so that's what we're doing now. The numbers are so great showing that everybody with cardiovascular disease has low vitamin D, so we're going to jack them all up. We have no evidence whatsoever that doing this does anything to improve cardiovascular disease.
Except that one guy.
No, they don't even have the one guy. They say, we don't have any evidence of this, but we'll probably figure it out in the next 5 to 8 years. So you're the test sample that's going to show this. You know, think of it like a fever. You know, we used to, when somebody was sick and they had a fever, they're like, oh, well, fever must cause people to be sick. So they would work to reduce that fever. And now we know that that's so stupid. We know that the fever is part of the body's process of the immune system fighting off whatever that issue is. And so we let the fever run its course. But you can see how we would view it that way. So this is what they're doing now, is they're viewing low vitamin D, since everybody with cardiovascular disease has low vitamin D, lifting it must fix that. But if you also look at the other things, they also say, cardiovascular disease, they always leads to diabetes and these other issues that are linked to high blood pressure, high blood sugar. And we know that when sugar's in the bloodstream, that it lifts blood pressure, it makes it higher. So like we talked about, if your sugar's high, calcium is going to be high, doesn't it make sense that the body would reduce vitamin D production to help fix that problem?
And this all goes back to my issues I've been having with my back, with the sugars and stuff probably pulling the calciums out and all that.
Right. And that's kind of like, calcium has to be in the tissues for muscles to be able to relax,
and
or
then
they can
I have
get
muscle
tightened
spasms
up.
And muscle cramps.
Right, and that can have to do with pulling other minerals out too. But you know, it's we just need to change the way that we're looking at this. You know, the body is trying to do some good things, but we're saying, you ain't doing that. We're going to do exactly what you're trying not to do.
Interesting.
It's kind of like throwing, gas on the fire. It's like trying to fix Justin Bieber's behavior problems by giving him alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help that. That's
That's not or giving him a jet plane.
Right.
And letting him...
Give another reason. Yeah. Why did he get arrested? He, like, let a hooker spit in his mouth or something?
He was smoking weed in the jet plane and wouldn't stop. Anyways, I don't want to gossip. I'm not one to gossip. It's been a while since I talked to the babe. Okay, Gary from Seminole, Texas. I was told by my doctor to take 5,000 IU D3 every day. I had some problems, so I cut it back to 3 times a week and feel somewhat better. The doctor looked at my blood tests and said my vitamin D was a little low. She said all the doctors in the office were stating that if you were over 50, to take 5,000 IU of D3. That was the only reason that I would notice a difference. And he goes on to say, boy, did I have headaches, sluggishness, general malaise, some swelling in my lower legs, and some wheezing when I lay flat. That was the only change, so I cut back to 3 times a week. Most of the signs and symptoms went away. I think I'll take a lower dose, maybe 2,000 IU instead of the 5,000 IU.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's common. I mean, it's happening every day now.
You know, 50 is a new 40.
Yeah.
So, shouldn't be taking that.
They're basing everything they're doing off of the correlation that they're finding between people with cardiovascular disease and some of these other issues also having low D levels.
Yeah. And you said it just a minute ago, but I'll just say it again so it sinks in people. Like, when you have high blood sugar, it pulls calcium out of the tissues. Your body wants to keep calcium in the tissues, so it synthesizes less vitamin D on purpose. So your blood tests show low vitamin D. But your body wants that to be the case because it wants to try to let more calcium get back into the tissues. But if you fix the high blood sugar issue, then the blood would no longer be as strong of a calcium magnet, so the calcium could stay where it's supposed to.
Right. And this isn't about listening to what we say and be like, oh, my doctor must be an idiot. That's not the case. But I do urge people to become a participant in their own health and to run simple tests on yourself to get a better idea of what's going on. You know, it's very easy to get a glucometer. They're not that expensive. You can get them cheap now. And test your blood sugar first thing in the morning, right before before you eat anything, right when you wake up. And if that fasting number is over 95, 96, 97, then you know that your blood sugars are starting to lean towards the higher side. So if you know blood sugar is higher, you know blood calcium is going to be higher, and the body may be restricting vitamin D there. Another thing you could do is understand that in almost all scenarios, vitamin D will raise blood pressure by thickening the blood.
Mm-hmm. So if you have high blood pressure, it may not be a good idea for sure.
It may not, but to take it to the next level, why not look, check your blood pressure, see where it is, and then see what happens when you start taking outrageous levels of vitamin D. Does it go up? If it does, then you just confirm some things for yourself. Now you're a participant. You're doing stuff. You're not just taking the pills and coming back in 3 months to see if your lips turn purple.
Well, talking about tests, I did a couple of those ink block tests.
How'd you do?
And I'm kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I saw some weird crap.
Yeah, I didn't need an ink block test to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, if you are someone with low blood pressure and you're hearing, vitamin D3 can help push it up, that'd be help me not be depressed. Well, there's better ways to go about getting your blood pressure up high than just taking a bunch of D3. Even if that makes you feel better, it still pulls calcium from your tissues. And a lot of people with low blood pressure are also overly anabolic, so they're already prone to viral issues. So using D3 as a blood pressure solution would make you even more prone to those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to read any of your books, Tony, or go through the digestive issues course or our fat loss course and learn about how to fix the electrolyte deficient state in a more natural, benevolent way, which you could also learn a lot about if you listen to our episode on depression.
Right. Yeah. So it doesn't mean you can't take D3, and everybody understands that in no way have we said that D3 is evil. It's just the amount that you take needs to be a human amount if it's appropriate for you at all. And the best ways to understand that are to look at your, urine pH and see where it is. And if it's above 6.4, that you're not at a place where vitamin D is probably going to benefit you at that point.
Hmm. Okay. Amber from Clare, Michigan. So, when it's freaking freezing and sub-zero temps and I can't go outside to get sun, what's the next best option?
Like today. It's like 64 today or something. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Gosh, just,
that's why we're doing the show by fire today. Yeah. It's horrid.
I'm on my parka right now.
It's so stupid.
And Will still naked.
So, D3 is actually like also available at best in animal products. Like you can get it in the fats in dairy and even in fish. The D3 that you get from plants is usually the wrong kind. It's usually D2. So if you're trying to find the right...
Ha ha, vegetarians.
So if you're trying to get D3 just from your diet, you can look to the fats in dairy as well as fish contain some. Or indoor like tanning beds and things.
Yeah, and there's also nothing wrong with supplementing with some D3 as long as you're using the lower levels. You know, once you go over 200 IU at a time, 300, you know, you're using a therapeutic level and you're going to push some chemistry around, but using less can, you know, you're just giving yourself something if you live in a place where there's not as much sun, or maybe you sit inside and play Nintendo all day, you know, mm-hmm. that could also, you could benefit from a little
or
bit
you
of
live
supplementation
in a cave or something. Colette from Goshen, Indiana. Now I have to say that's my middle name, Colette. You got a good middle name. What about happy lights that they use in places like Seattle? Why do those work? Happy lights. I've never heard of that. I've heard of...
That's
a happy light.
Yeah. I don't know why it would...
Aren't you happier?
I know. Yeah, I don't turn it on very much.
Working.
Okay. Yeah.
I did try a Philips wake-up light once, where it like goes to the natural... You know, it's supposed to go on slowly and wake
you're
right. you
totally
up.
Late for work.
Yeah. Right. And you still sleep right through it. I mean,
right. Yeah. Well, the happy lights don't, that I know of, don't do UV rays, and to actually synthesize vitamin D, you need UV rays like from the sun or from tanning bed lights kind of things. So I don't know why they work. Do you know anything about why?
Placebo?
I don't know. But it does seem...
Carol Ann's there.
Right. It does seem that people get a good effect from those happy lights, and it's just a different kind of light that brightens the room in a different way. Maybe that I don't know.
I think darkness is scary, mm-hmm. so maybe people just associate light with I don't know being happy. I don't know.
Yeah, could
I'm
be.
Not a psychologist.
It's better than fluorescent,
right? Yeah. It is. So there's your answer. I don't know.
We're really helpful, Colette. Yeah, but you do have a cute middle name or first name. My middle name's Colette. Okay, so any other things y'all want to talk about? Will, didn't you say something before we started about a test that you could take to know if you have enough or get too much or something like that?
Well, what I was talking more about was just to like the self-tests where you uh-huh. can kind of look at when you should not take vitamin D. Would be like if your urine pH is over 6.4. Okay. You can also look at signs and symptoms of calcium deficiency, like if you're getting any cold or flu type symptoms or cramps, like muscle cramps or menstrual cramps. Those would be indications that your tissues do not have enough calcium in them, and as such vitamin D could be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And if blood pressure is super low, you may be having a problem pulling calcium into the system, and a little bit of vitamin D could benefit that, but you really want to take other steps to bring blood pressure up as well. And we cover those in any of the books and courses and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you didn't know, Tony has a series of books, Kick It in the Nuts and A Done With Being Fat and all kinds of books. And he also has a website. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. There's also a 12-week Kick Your Fat in the Nuts course there too. So,
and Will's in both those courses
too. Yeah, there's videos. You know, it's great foreplay.
We have one video of Will dancing.
Yeah,
there's
it's
a pole
eye porn.
Involved.
It's really good eye porn for all you ladies out there. And for all you men, it can be motivation and inspirational. But they're very smart. They know what they're talking about. So go on, sign up. It's free. What do you have to lose? Except weight. And all your ailments.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good one.
Later. See you next time.
I'm done saying stuff now.
Mm-hmm.